Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
Jeremy gets very excited about incredible stories, but do you have a wide on for this story? One caller on 0800 Hauraki decides if it's incredible or not.
Kentucky Fried Chicken plans to make a space pioneer out of a chicken sandwich next week when it sends it to the edge of the atmosphere with the help of a high-altitude balloon. The promotional stunt for the Zinger sandwich comes 2 months after the fast food chain unveiled Rob Lowe playing Kentucky Fried Chicken founder Harlan Sanders, Colonel Sanders, in a spacesuit as part of an ad campaign.
Can you actually launch KFC's world-famous Zinger chicken sandwich into space? And the answer is, we certainly hope so. Our entire marketing campaign depends on it.
KFC is partnering with balloon maker Worldview on the project. The chain says the launch window opens June 21 for what it says is the longest controlled stratospheric balloon flight with a commercial payload in history. The sandwich will return to Earth and bring back telemetry data. The question is, will anybody be eating that sandwich?
That is a great question. Secondly, it's funny how they call them a sandwich, whereas we'd call it a burger.
That's right.
A Zinger burger.
That's
right. Actually, in America, they don't understand that because the burger is the burger, like is the burger patty.
That's right.
And when you put a burger patty between two bits of bread, it then becomes a sandwich.
That screwed me the first time I ever went to Wendy's on Queen Street. And I was like, sandwich? I don't want a sandwich. I want a bloody burger. That's why I came here. And then I ordered a sandwich, thinking I was going to get a sandwich, then I ended up with a burger.
Yeah. And so it goes into space. So when you say, I wonder who's going to eat it, are you saying like someone in space might eat it?
No, I'm saying when it comes back down, will anyone eat it? Because it's going to be a while up there and back again.
Imagine if it came back down and there was a huge bite taken out of it, but the bite had like two mouths, you know, like the alien from Alien.
Well, what about if it sounded like the snail? That sound is an alien. That to me sounds like an alien attack. Back there could be the sound, apart from the crickets.
So that's what it would happen if it went into space and got eaten by a, why would a giant snail
be flying giant snail that was hanging around out there?
Seems unlikely.
Good morning, Patrick of the Massive Downstairs. How are you?
Good morning, boys.
Patrick with the Massive Downstairs.
I'm very good, thank you, lads. Yourselves?
Good. You ever been to space, Patrick?
I haven't been to space. I've been on a few things that have sent me somewhere near space, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, that is absolutely. Have you ever had a sandwich?
I have had a sandwich. That is one thing I have done.
Oh, well, I think
you've
gone
from asking Patrick whether he's gone to space to asking him whether he's had a sandwich.
Well, I think that makes him, if he's eaten a sandwich before, it makes him uniquely qualified to weigh in on whether that story was incredible or not.
Well, I think next you're going to ask him whether he's ever made love to Colonel Sanders.
Have you, Patrick?
Well, I've been to Colonel Sanders. Well, not the KFC, but I have not made love to the man himself.
You've been to Colonel Sanders, like just one of his houses, not his...
Just one of his houses.
Well, Colonel Sanders, of course, was a well-known philanderer and a well-known rooter. In fact, he used to run a number of women at any given time, and they often used to dine with him and his wife at his dinner table.
And what are they
eating?
On the potato and gravy.
I wonder if that massive beard and...
Pesty.
Finger-licking goodness.
He was a next-level pest, Colonel Sanders. Yeah, he was a next-level pest.
Well, he didn't get rich till he was 65 or something. He invented KFC when he was 65, so then he was really making up for lost time because he'd been poor for a long time till then, you know. Wasn't actually a colonel. Incredible story or not, Patrick, with the Massive Downstairs?
Two points on you, a couple of points there. One, it's incredibly hard to get through to you guys anymore.
Sorry about that.
It must be a slow day today.
Yeah.
Another point, Matt's getting absolutely robbed this week on Blitz versus Jizzer after playing nothing but Deja Vu songs a few weeks ago.
Patrick, I'll tell you something, Patrick. You know, I love you. Don't get me wrong, but you've come through and that's incredible. And what you're doing is you're bringing Blitz versus Jizzer into this particular segment here. Now, a lot of people who are listening at 6:10, they wouldn't even know what Blitz versus Jizzer was. They're like, what the hell is Blitz versus Jizzer?
I mean, the last thing we need is those people listening at 9:00 as well, because then they'll be trying to call in.
Well, this is the thing, but I mean, for people who are listening at 6:10 and they do wonder what Blitz versus Jizzer is, it's a game that we play at about 9:00 every day where Matt plays a Blitz and I play a Jizzer, and five calls decides whose song's better based on a theme.
But right now we're in a segment, Patrick, of the Massive Downstairs, where Jerry reads a punishing story from around the world and then one caller decides whether it's incredible or not.
It is incredible.
Oh, there we have it. There we go.
It's highly regulatory, but it's incredible.
Well, thanks, Patrick. We'll take that. At least we've got two bits of admin. In fact, you got two bits of the same admin in there.
Well, they got a Blitz vs. Jizzer tease in there.
We've got PLG coming up later on, debating the merits of Freedom Campers.
The agenda.
Later, Dirty Seaman Lie comes home to roost.
It's true.
Soon, build a wall and make the animals at Welly Zoo pay for it. But now, short kiwi gets protected.
A 100-year-old giant chalk kiwi carved into the British countryside has been granted protected status. The Bulford kiwi was painstakingly carved by reluctant New Zealand troops stationed at Bulford close to Stonehenge at the end of World War I. It's a 130-metre tall outline of a kiwi, an unusual sight near a better known for hillside chalk horses and military badges. Soldiers waiting for transport back to New Zealand in 1919 carved the kiwi into the hillside, and it has become a symbol of New Zealand's involvement in the war ever since.
Couple of points on this. You know the Uffington White Horse, Jerry?
Yes.
I was involved in a project to get up very early in the morning and add a giant phallus to it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. In a state of arousal or...?
No, just hanging down.
Okay.
We did it with big canvas sheets. It was massive, actually. It was quite a massive undertaking. Had to go all the way down to Oxfordshire to do it.
Wouldn't you have said that this giant kiwi on the hillside in Oxfordshire, England...
Yeah.
Is almost, I don't know, like a tag? You know, isn't it graffiti?
Vandalism.
Isn't it vandalism of a hillside in
a lot
of ways?
Well, at least they didn't do a C&B, which we did. Hey, but Jerry, it's interesting because you say that the kiwi that they made over there at the end of World War II is a very different kiwi than we'd make now. It's tall and skinny with a long beak, which is the kiwi from the kiwi shoe polish. And that's the only reason why we're called kiwis is because the kiwi shoe polish was so popular in England. And we started calling ourselves kiwis around the shoe polish because they had a picture of a kiwi on it. And then the armed forces started using it. The New Zealand Air Force started using the kiwi logo as well, kind of as a joke.
Yeah, that's right. And then it's actually an Australian boot polish. So right. That was then sold into England.
With a kiwi on it.
Yeah, in 1906, I was just reading, it was sold in Australia. And then it was, it had 2/3 of the market in the United Kingdom and the United States where it was sold.
And interestingly enough, when they do brand awareness studies overseas, most people think we're called kiwis after the kiwi fruit, which is actually a Chinese gooseberry.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting history there.
Yeah.
But the question is, if the kiwi, which isn't our most spectacular bird or even our most interesting bird, if it's only our national identity because it was on some shoe polish out of Australia that was popular in England, then is it any good?
Well, that's a great question. And I've never liked the kiwi as a bird. It's a pest of a bird.
It's a massive pest, isn't it?
It's a massive pest. You only need to listen to the way that the female sound of a kiwi to realise that it's just a horrific bird. You'll never really see one. They pest around. They stink, actually. I've held one before. They eat worms. They reek. They're not a good eating bird. They're not really good for anything.
Well, they're not very good flyers either. Should we run a snap poll next on whether the kiwi's any good or not?
I think that's a great idea.
I think we should change our national animal to the coati snail.
Well, that's disgusting as well. Like.
There it is, eating a worm. Listen to that sound.
I mean, they're very good at eating worms, the way they suck them up like spaghetti.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
Hey, Jerry, I hear you had a horrific car accident yesterday.
Well, when you say horrific, Matt, not so horrific. Actually, there was a slightly terrifying part to it. I was driving along a road and I stopped because the car was pulling out of it. It was like a side street in Auckland, and a car was pulling out of a park and started reversing back. And so I stopped because I thought, oh, yeah, this car's just going to reverse back and then drive off. And I was fine with that. And it reversed back. It was a Honda Accord. Reversed back, and it kept reversing. And I was like, I must have been 10 metres away from it, giving it plenty of space. And then I got on the horn. I was like, this is not looking good. I don't think this person's seen me. This is... And you know when it gets to a point where you realise that they definitely haven't seen you because there's no way you would ever drive that close when you're reversing to someone?
Yeah.
And then you just watch in slow motion as the car just reverses
straight. And you're riding the horn?
I'm on the horn. I was on the horn. The person had no idea.
And describe the person.
About a 22-year-old Sri Lankan.
Okay.
Male. And he's wearing a chef's outfit. So anyway, this 22-year-old Sri Lankan male in a chef's outfit and a Honda Accord just continued to... And then it was weird because when I was beeping, he sped up and then really came in pace, at pace. It was very strange. Straight into the front of my car.
How much damage?
Well, to the front of my car, I mean, he actually had more damage to his car, strangely enough. I got kind of an angle on my car and it sort of poked into the back of his. But I felt this like overwhelming feeling of rage.
Yeah.
That washed over me, came from, strangely enough, from my feet and then worked its way up my body to my head. And then he got out and he apologised and I didn't say anything. And then I just immediately, the rage sort of just disappeared.
Yeah.
And I realised this guy, and then I asked him, have you got insurance? And he's like, no, I don't have insurance.
What?
He goes, it's not my car. And I felt sorry for him. I was like, this is no good.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. What do you do in that situation? What are you meant to do?
Did you get his number?
Yeah, I got his number, and I took his number plate, and I took a photo of his driver's license. He was a nice guy, you know, like he was... And he goes, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't really afford this. And I was like, well, mate, unfortunately, you need insurance. And he goes, it's not my car. And I said, if you're not going to do that, then you really don't want to be backing into people.
No, and if someone's on the horn, you know, it's a good reason to stop, you know.
But what's the process? Because I'd like to know, if anyone knows, what you meant to do from here on in. Because I call my insurer. But do they just pay, or do they pay for your excess, or do they pay for the entire bill? Because I guess, in a sense, you don't have to use your... Like I shouldn't have to claim for that.
You should make him be your servant for 2 weeks.
Come and cook me food.
Just be your slave for 2 weeks. You know? Like a slave for 2 weeks.
Well, people might think that's racist.
Well, no, it's the plot from, you know, in Seinfeld when George Costanza, when they're pitching the idea of Seinfeld within Seinfeld, they're pitching the idea of the show, you know, that episode?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then the episode comes out that someone has a car accident and then can't pay for it because they don't have insurance, so the person becomes their slave for 2 weeks.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Hold on, here's Will the nurse. Morning, Will.
G'day, guys.
You know your way around the insurance process?
Yeah, I had an incident a couple of weeks ago. It was actually my fault, but the guy only... Well, he did have third-party insurance, but it's lapsed. So technically he had no insurance at the time. And my insurance company said that he could be covered under something called non-insured third-party. So basically, he just needed to sign a form. And they would pay out for him. But was this guy at fault, was he?
He definitely is at fault, because I was just sitting there and then he just reversed into me. I was doing absolutely nothing wrong.
What will happen, mm-hmm. Jerry, is if you then go to your insurance company and say this guy's crashed into me, then they'll then extract the money from that guy themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least you'll have to pay the, what do you call it?
The excess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then do you lose your no-claims bonus? What is a no-claims
bonus? Well, you shouldn't do, because it's not your fault.
You know what I'm feeling right now?
You hate that talking about this.
I'm zoned out.
I can see that you don't like it.
Well, it's your insurance issue, not mine.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Now, in light of a 100-year-old chalk, giant chalk kiwi carved in the British countryside being granted protected status, we're discussing the merits of the kiwi right now. This is in a Penis or Genius segment. That sounded like I was going into that.
Did.
Later on, we'll be discussing the merits of freedom camping and Penis or Genius. But right now, we're going to run a snap poll around whether the kiwi's that good. And let's go into some history we were talking about before. The only reason why we're called kiwis overseas is there was an Australian boot polish that had a picture of a kiwi on it called Kiwi Boot Polish for some reason.
Wasn't even New Zealand owned.
And that was big around the wartime in England. And so when the New Zealand soldiers went over there, they started getting called kiwis after the kiwi polish. And then the army thought that was quite funny, so they adopted it, especially the Air Force, as their logo. And then the All Blacks toured in 1920 and then started getting called kiwis over there. And as a result, for some reason, you'll have a bunch of people in a room and they'll go, there's some Aussies, there's some Brits, and there's some Kiwis.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we're the only ones that get called after our bird. And it's happened totally organically and no one got to decide it. you know.
No, in terms of a marketing strategy for a people, you would say that being named after that particular bird is an odd one.
Yeah.
Because as you said before, we've got so many great birds in this country, beautiful birds. I mean, the kakapo is a great example. That's a great bird.
The kakapo.
Amazing bird. Cool, massive parrot.
Massive pest, though, as well.
A huge pest, but good eating and great plumage.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been a better one by far. And the other thing, before we go to this...
Snap poll
on the kiwi, is that in America they think that we're called kiwis after kiwi fruit, and they just call them kiwi.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they've got no idea why they're called kiwi fruit, which are actually, as we were saying before, a Chinese gooseberry.
That's right.
So what's the setup of the snap poll?
Is the kiwi a crap bird?
Okay, there we go.
Well, I mean, and also, have a listen to the sound of it, because, of course, the male kiwi, beautiful sound. I mean, listen to the song of the male kiwi.
Oh, that's lovely. Well,
kind of like a seagull.
Slightly pesty, yeah.
And now have a listen to the female. Listen to this.
Oh, Jesus. Is that a succubus?
I know, isn't that horrific? It's the female. She's a shocker. She's a shocker, the female kiwi.
0800 Hariki, if you want to weigh on this issue du jour, is the kiwi a bit crap?
Cohen, morning.
Morning.
What's going on, Cohen skin?
It's a bit cold in the Waikato.
Is it?
Field days, freezing, it's a frost.
Will you be pesting around field days, Cohen?
I'll be doing my best pesting today at the field days.
Cohen, will you be pesting around the mobile caravan facilities that are pesting around the Waikato region at the moment?
I will be on the way home, that's for sure.
Good on you, Cohen skin. Kiwi, what are your thoughts?
Wow, that massively long beak. That is just built for pesting, isn't it?
It's a pest. It's a pest. Yeah. In terms of it does its pesting at night, it pests around making a horrific noise. And then it pests around on the ground looking for grubs.
Well, that's one vote. Mm. That's one vote against the kiwi. Thank you, Cohen Skin. Good luck at field days. Let's take it to Dunedin.
Good morning, Ben.
How are we?
Ben, the 26-year-old bus driver from Dunedin.
Kiwis, yeah or nay, Ben?
Mate, well, I am massively on the back foot this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You sound on the back foot. What's happened? Have you come down with something?
One of these bastard passengers of mine is trying to defeat my rule of never being sick.
Oh.
And it's not okay. When I find out who it is, I'll be sure not to pick them up.
Right, you think you've been infected, have you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like the plague. No, I'm just kidding.
You need to find patient zero.
Well, that's the thing down in Dunedin. You can actually work out who the exact culprit was, who the source was. It was like when Matt took his nits to Stirling. They worked out that it was definitely Matt who bought nits because nobody else had ever seen a nit in Stirling before.
Well, oddly, it seems like not only Stirling has a problem with Matt Heath, but Cavisham despises either Matt Heath or Hariki. I'm not sure what it is, but this signal is crap.
Oh, is it? Well, look, you're having a bad day, Ben, from bus driver. Should we just find out whether you like kiwis or not and then put you to bed?
Yeah, bud. Yeah, can you kill them all? And
kill
me out.
Okay, well, you've gone.
Clear the lines!
You want to kill all the Kiwis. Good morning, you're a new caller to the show. What's your name?
G'day, mate, I'm Matt.
G'day, Matt.
I'm Auckland.
Matt from Auckland.
Just got a fun fact for you on the Kiwi.
Oh, yeah.
They've actually got one of the shortest beaks in the world because when a beak's measured, it's from the nostril to the tip.
Ah,
Matt.
And they've got nostrils. You old tricker. Their nostrils are down the end.
You old right tricker. At the end. That is one good thing about the kiwi. It's got its nostrils down the end of its beak. That's clever.
Yeah. Hey, so Matt, in light of it, where its nostrils are you for or against the kiwi?
Nah, I quite like the old kiwi, mate.
Ah, damn, because I really want to put the snap hole to bed and you were the deciding vote. Can you just say that you don't and then we can get out of this?
They're terrible. Yeah, terrible animal.
Thank you, Dewey. We finally got a consensus. Death to all Kiwis.
This is the middle of the Matt and Jerry podcast, which means...
No, it's not actually. It's not the middle.
Well, close enough to the middle.
Yeah, but it's not the actual middle.
Okay. You are a certain ways through the Matt and Jerry podcast. There's still some great stuff to come, so listen to the end. And
the rest of it's not very good either.
Okay. All right.
So, it's a waste of time. It's a little bit here.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just shut up then, shall I? Jesus Christ.
It's Matt and Jerry's penis
or genius?
We don't have time for that around what can only be described as the lowest level car accident in the history of the world. Now, in light of new laws clamping down on sleeping in vans without toilets in them, this morning we're debating whether freedom campers are penis or genius. I will argue that freedom camping is genius, and jury will argue that it is penis. You can vote on 0800 Hodaki or text P or G and a comment to 3483. Jury, you have 1 minute to argue that freedom campers are penis, and your time starts now.
And before I start, can I just say, look, people voting for me, I understand I need some sympathy in this situation. So any kind of vote for me is obviously a vote for the victim in this situation.
Just get on with
your argument. Every year, ones of thousands of tourists visit these pristine shores and experience this wonderful country of ours. You know, it's been hard creating New Zealand. Firstly, we had to trick the indigenous people to letting us bring our relatives here. Once we'd got in, then we had to fight wars with them to enforce our rule that we'd tricked them into. And then 50 or so years later, we had to fight wars with countries that didn't even know we were fighting them to prove to Great Britain that we were an actual country. We worked tirelessly to cut down all the trees from these pristine islands so we could grow grass to farm European animals to send back to our relatives in our homeland and make money. It hasn't been easy. In recent times, we've sold all the assets that our forefathers cut all the trees down to build so we can keep taxes down and have more money in our pockets to buy three-quarter pants. So to watch freeloader tourists turn up here now and use this country for their own good is despicable.
Penis.
How dare they travel around our national highways for free in vans with lewd spray-painted stuff on it.
Penis.
How dare they enjoy the tiny amount left of our natural environments whilst trying not to spend too much.
Penis.
How dare they go to Franny and provide some much-needed fanny to the genetically deprived local population and other pests who frequent tourist hotspots hoping to get some downstairs relief.
Penis.
This country belongs to the European-descended middle-aged people who have milked it dry their whole lives, not new people wanting to come here and visit it. I say we take away all the trees and lakes and roads and public toilets and go back to being a New Zealand for New Zealanders, not defecating, fanny-freeing, freedom camping freeloaders. Freedom camping totes and nuts.
Penis.
And now, Matt, your minute to argue that freedom campers are genius starts now.
I don't want your freedom. I don't want to play.
If freedom camping is genius, what could be better than jumping in a crappy old van and crapping your way around this beautiful country of ours?
Genius.
Freedom camping is so simple, so natural, so basic. Just you, a van, a mattress, and a lovely German, French, Aussie, or Waikato girl, or all four. That's the kind of loose behaviour freedom campers are free to engage in.
Genius!
Freedom camping is about getting out there on the roads, pesting rest stops. It's about really getting stuck in, getting to know each other's bodies and bodily functions, waking up and taking in the views, taking a walk, taking a dump together on the side of State Highway 1.
Genius!
Baby boomers hate freedom campers. Instead of investing in more public bathrooms, they have legislated against them, simply because freedom campers embody everything the boomers have lost. Carefree attitudes, non-wrinkly lovemaking, and the ability to relieve oneself on park benches with a strong and youthful flow.
Genius!
Jesus was a freedom camper, so was Gandhi and Forrest Gump. People who stay in motels and hotels include Mark Lundy, Donald Trump, and Colin Craig.
Penis!
So don't let the boomers take away your freedom. You don't need a map, a plan, a paid camping site, or an onboard bathroom. Camping is about freedom. It's about making love on filthy mattresses. It's about pesting around in a shitter. So get out there on the road. Get out there into nature. Get out there and pull your pants down and wave your ass in the freezing Kiwi air like you just don't care. In the words of Elsa, let it go, let it go. The cold never bothered me anyway. And in the words of William Wallace... Freedom camping?
Genius.
Call 0800 Hodaki now and tell us if you think freedom campers are penis or genius, or you can text P or G to 3483.
It's Matt and Jerry's penis or genius.
Now, in light of new laws clamping down on sleeping in vans without toilets in them, this week we're debating whether freedom campers are P or G. Let's go to the phones.
Here's Samuel James Stenton from Christchurch. Good morning, Samuel James Stenton.
Good morning, Matt and Jerry.
P or G this morning for you, Samuel James Stenton?
I think freedom camping is absolute penis.
On what grounds, Samuel James Stenton from Christchurch?
Oh, just the manner in which they behave while they're out and about doing their thing, including public defecation.
What about, you know, getting in the back seat of, you know, getting to the back of a van on a mattress with a lady that you've met that's from,
oh,
I don't know,
that's
Sweden?
That's quite a different thing.
Well, that's kind of freedom camping, isn't it? But what about Germany?
Hey, don't you turn the voters. Here's Hamish from Wellington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hamish. P or G?
I'll have to go with Junior.
All right, there you go. Good stuff, Hamish from Welly. Let's go to Nick from Cambridge. Good morning.
How are you?
Freedom Camping, P or G?
Oh, it's genius. There's been many times that back box busting for a crap and he's going to go. Got to go.
Got to go. It's funny how our
Freedom Camping is not about defecating. I think you've confused the issue. It's nothing to do. Freedom Camping is about exploring a country.
Exploring the bodies of...
No, it's not. It's about exploring the natural environment as cheaply as you possibly can. As close to nature as you possibly can. I'm just looking at the text machine. P. Jeremy is a penis and should get 7 to 10 years for having a young boy back into him.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, Jerry.
Definite P. Well done, Jeremy. We hope you get better soon.
Oh, come on. Penis, it'd be okay if they didn't leave their soiled teepee on beaches.
Genius, any mention of the Waikato gets my vote. Also, hope you're doing okay, Jerry. Love you, babes. That's Jordan from Hamilton. Thanks, Jordan. No, I'm going okay, thanks. As I said, just some scrapes.
Jerry Leighton Smith Wells, you're a baby boomer tourist, so it's genius from me.
Penis Matt played a song about not wanting your freedom, which completely undermined his argument.
Well, can I just address that? The song that I asked for was Freedom. You got to have some faith in the sound. You know, that George Michael song, Freedom, not the Wham song, Freedom, you see. There's a Freedom by George Michael and a Freedom by Wham, and the wrong one came up. You see what I'm saying?
P, firstly, Jerry, that horrific accident, hopefully you're recovering from it now. And it's tough sharing the roads with Freedom Campers. These wounders increase the chance of more accidents like Jerry. Stay safe, Jerry. Stay safe out there. Stay safe. Hope you're okay, Jerry. Love to Tulsi, Mishka and Hughes. Hope they're coping okay. Let me know if you need me to drop round a casserole. That's very kind. Such kind thoughts. Good luck for your recovery, Jerry. There's another text coming in there.
Well, can I just say, before we go on anymore, that you weren't involved in a car accident. A 22-year-old man reversed into you at about 5 kilometres an hour. Can we just take it off the board that you've been involved in a car accident?
Well, that's confirmed that someone did reverse into me. The speed that he was travelling at hasn't been confirmed at this stage. We don't know what that speed is. That's speculation.
The votes have been counted. The people of Hauraki have spoken. And Freedom Campers will join nuns, boobs on bikes, self-pleasure, blasphemy, humiliating dancing, sexting, Hillary Barry, hot bedding, scalping and viewing lewd content at work on the
genius
side of the great Hauraki Breakfast Cody Log. What? Freedom Campers, you have been voted genius. May you live on for all eternity at the right hand of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, etched forever upon a log affixed to the wall of our radio studio.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code PODCAST, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.